Blog Talk Radio.
This is Patrick Fischler. I've appeared on TV shows such as Mad Men, Lost, and Weeds. I actually have a real career. So what the heck am I doing on Mr. Media Radio with Bob Andelman? Somebody get my agent on the phone right now!
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to legendary underground comics artist and publisher Dennis Kitchen, the subject of a new career retrospective book, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen. Stick around! So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? Well, that would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Now, Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of recently bathed, well-dressed comic book fans who, oh, who am I kidding? The only thing true in this script is that Mr. Media is recorded more or less live in the new media capital of the world and home of the best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, there's nothing odd about legendary underground comics artist and publisher Dennis Kitchen. Everything I've ever learned about the man, both before we met and since we became friends in 2002, has always been compelling. This is a rare creative animal who has thrived in roles both creative and corporate, even if he met the latter challenge kicking and screaming all the way home each day. Kitchen and his company, Kitchen Sink Press, were present at the birth of the underground comics movement in the 1960s and 70s. He is responsible for boosting the careers of talents as extremely different as Robert Crumb and Will Eisner, and almost everyone in between. Now, over the last year, Kitchen has been more productive than he has been in decades. I don't think he'll argue that. Co-authoring a retrospective of Harvey Kurtzman, the first editor of Mad Magazine, called The Art of Harvey Kurtzman, The Mad Genius of Comics. That was done with Paul Buell. A history of underground comics called Underground Classics, The Transformation of Comics into Comics with an X. That was done with James Danke. And producing a look back at his own career, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen, which has an introduction by Neil Gaiman. And just yesterday, I saw a press release for an even newer collection of his work. It's called Dennis Kitchen's Chipboard Sketchbook. Dennis Kitchen, old friend, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good. How's Mrs. Media?
Mrs. Media is good, and I believe that I already know that Mrs. Kitchen is overseas, avoiding me at great distance. Dennis, let me ask you a question. If it's 2 a.m, are you sleeping peacefully or are you dreaming up new projects as either an artist or a publisher?
I dream of new projects a lot. It's a curse, yeah.
And are you someone who will you get up and act on that? Do you
keep a notepad by the bedside? I think that's prudent.
Have you ever had mornings when you've woken up thinking that you had a great idea overnight and then you slept peacefully and then you woke up and you looked at it and went, what the hell was I thinking? Well, what does that mean even?
Absolutely. It's the same as when I used to take acid back in the old days, the same thing would happen. I would have ideas. I'd jot them down. I'd put them in a shirt pocket. And the next morning I'd say, what the hell was that all about? But every once in a while, something brilliant comes out of a dream or another experience. So it always pays to take notes and edit later.
So now that you've opened the door to this, I have to ask you, as a young man, and I won't ask about as a grown-up, but as a young man, did acid help in the creative process?
You know, I was a card-carrying hippie back in the day, and I have to say, the psychedelic experience for me was good. I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but But yeah, I think it's one way of generating ideas. More significantly, it's a way of providing insights either internally or about the universe, you know, not to get too crazy about it, but these are all aids, you know, and where we get our ideas from is very mysterious. So my feeling is anything that helps the creative process, not a bad thing.
Now, over the years, some people I think have probably looked at underground comics, particularly in the 60s and 70s, and looked at some of the work and gone, what were they on drugs when they did this? I mean, it really was, a lot of it was truly drug-fueled. We're not exaggerating that, right?
I think it's fair to say. Most artists, I think, would have been foolish to have done the actual drawing and writing while high. I wouldn't recommend it. But certainly a lot of the material was intended for the readers to be perhaps high. And it's unfair to say, because Underground's covered a broad swath, as you know. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you read something called The Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers or Dope Comics, I think you probably know Rolling Papers are going to be nearby. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there were an awful lot of undergrounds that were autobiographical or historical in nature, or, I mean, on almost literally every subject. That was the beauty of it, is there were no restrictions and artists were all over the place.
Now, your new book, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen, is kind of the first big chunk of it, and I don't know, maybe a third of the book, third to a half of the book is a history, a biography of Dennis Kitchen, where you really tell us a lot about how you came to be who you are now. You tell
Well, I didn't write it. Charles Brownstein wrote the essay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I wrote the captions.
There's a bit of a blurring of the lines as you read the book because, yeah, so, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry. And I should have given Charles credit. Good guy.
Yeah.
The comic book legal defense guy.
Right.
Fun. But, you know, do you ever, when you have that kind of story told about you, do you ever think, you know, maybe I'm telling too much? You know, we talk so much about TMI these days, too much information. Any regrets now that it's out?
Oh, there are still skeletons in the closet, Bob. But my feeling is I'd rather be direct and honest about any topic for what it's worth. Some of the things that happened back in the 70s reflect a certain era that we probably won't see again. It was a unique period. If my grandmother was a flapper, I'd want to know what it was like being a flapper in the 20s, because I don't think that's something we'll ever experience again. So to the degree that the whole hippie generation had a unique experience during a momentous period in American history, I'd say why not share? My story may not be that different or that similar from others, because I was not in San Francisco, for example. I was in the Midwest, which would have been a different experience than, say, being in Berkeley or Frisco. But I have no regrets about being honest, both of my work and with Charles on this book. It is what it is.
Now, you're your father of three girls. You have two grown daughters, and you have a daughter who's 12. And your older daughters went through a lot of this with you. They were born and were growing up through this. But your youngest daughter, who's 12, how do you – I mean, does any of this give you pause in – I don't know how much she knows at this point, or how much, you know, she'll be discovering about, you know, things you did in the past. You know, do you have to, you know, kind of weigh how you introduce that? Because obviously she's going to find everything out eventually anyway.
Yeah, she will. At this point, she has zero interest. I'm not, you know, I'm the least cool guy on the planet in her eyes right now. When this book came out, I mean, she was aware of it. There's material in it I'd rather she not see. At this point, she's shown no interest in it. So at some point, yeah, she'll find out. You know, when you're a teenager, she just turned 13. Your parents are the least interesting people in the world, really. So as she put it to me the other day, Dad, I'm not a fan. Kind of thumbs it up. And that's fine. She has, as you know, a bit of a career herself, though she's officially retired. And she has no interest in having people look at her own work. She's very private about it. So the three books that are out probably be the only three, at least for the foreseeable future. But yeah, the older daughters, they lived through it for better or worse. And I think, as far as I can tell, they have fond memories of it. We had a lot of interesting house guests, and they're no worse for the wear. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you one more thing, and then we're going to take a short break. You've returned to the drawing board, I think, in the last couple of years in a way that you really hadn't in a long time. You had concentrated, I think, on business and being a publisher and being an agent. I should point out that you represented me on a book. Did you, as you've returned now to drawing, do you find that you romanticized it over the years, or is it as fun as you hoped it would be when you came back to it?
You know, I've always loved drawing, and I don't know if romanticizing is the right word. The actual, you know, sitting at the drawing board and putting the inks over the pencils, it's work. It can get a little tedious, but it's part of the process. And because I'd been away from it for a while, yeah, I find it exhilarating. If I had to do it every single day, you know, might be a different story. And for better or worse, I've worn a number of hats. So to take an old, well-worn hat that's been in the closet for a while and put it on again, it feels good. I hope I can be productive, do interesting things.
All right. Well, tell you what, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with underground comics artist and publisher Dennis Kitchen, who's the subject of the new retrospective coffee table book, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen, with text by Charles Brownstein. And we'll be right back.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
Find out the winners of the first ever TV.com Now Awards, where fans like you voted for the hottest in TV and entertainment in the now. Check out video highlights from the star-studded awards show in San Diego, including the musical performances, plus appearances by your favorite TV stars. Find out who won in categories like the Best New TV Bad Guy or TV Reality Stars We Can't Get Enough Of. It's all the winners, all the highlights, and it's all online and available only at TV.com. Watch it now at www.tv.com.
This is OnStar on the road. Are your brakes trying to tell you something? If your vehicle's brakes are squeaking, take action right away to avoid a safety hazard or more costly repairs. Squeaking may be normal under certain conditions, but it could also mean you need new brake pads. Only a technician can let you know for sure. If you let brake problems persist, you could also begin to hear a grinding noise, which may indicate damage to your brake discs. Head to a dealer immediately to get this checked out. This is Katie Pontone from the OnStar Command Center.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is your personal travel expert, Stephanie Abrams.
And David Isbee on Travelers 411.
Join us each week as we discuss everything you need to know about travel.
Leisure or business, Stephanie has the information you need. So before you pack your bags, listen to Travelers 411.
And visit my award-winning websites at sabrams.com, sabrams.com, and travelers411.com.
It's Travelers 411 on chataboutit.com.
Hi, this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with underground comics artist and publisher Dennis Kitchen, subject of the new retrospective coffee table book, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen, with text by Charles Brownstein. I hope I've mentioned Charles enough to make up for missing him before. Dennis,
you might mention John Lind, who did some brilliant design on it.
Well, I don't have to. You just did. There you go, John, you're covered. But Dennis, one of the things that surprised me, a little anyway, was how much attention in the book your relationship with Will Eisner gets. Obviously, I'm very familiar with that, but and I knew you guys were very close. Reading it in a book focused on you really kind of put it in perspective for me, I think.
Well, yeah, I think I met Will very early on in my career, I think 1971, and we worked together for, you know, until he died in early 2005. So it was a long relationship, and it really was more than just business. I think in ways I came to realize, and I think he came to realize, he was a kind of a surrogate father. My own father died when I was 13, and Will, as you know, lost his only daughter early on, and I think there was a relationship there that went beyond the business, and I found myself turning to him a number of times for personal advice as well as business advice, and he was always there with it because he was somebody I personally respected. So it was a complex relationship, hard to, hard to easily define, Bob.
Is there sort of a parallel there in the way that Will kind of went away from the drawing board for a long time, in large part, and then he became a publisher and many other types of businessmen, and then came back to it, and you've kind of done that yourself.
It's one of the things that, I couldn't even begin to compare myself to Will as an artist, but yes, our careers were similar in that he was an artist who loved the business side of publishing and always had to have a foot in it, and in my case, I became a businessman more by default. But once I did, I found that I enjoyed it and was creative in its own way. A lot of people think I didn't really want to be a publisher. And the truth is, I enjoyed it. As I sometimes said, it's like instead of starring in a movie, I was the director or the producer. So being able to assemble projects, being able to pull people together, assemble anthologies, just reaching out to creators with concepts, it's great in its own way, and it's different than being a cartoonist. And I certainly never completely left the drawing board, nor did Will. But Will engaged in a lot of businesses where he employed a lot of assistants to do the work. And by the time he reached an age where most people would consider retirement, he simply sold his businesses and devoted himself full-time to drawing. So in a weird way, not that I've come back to it full-time, I'm at about the age Will was when he decided to devote full-time to drawing. I'm at least returning to the drawing board part-time, and we'll see what happens. There's some odd parallels.
Yeah, now I have a this will probably surprise you when you see this later. I have a 20-year-old video clip that I found. It's got a brief interview. We've just got a little piece of it here. It's got an interview with you, and it's got an interview with Will. I think it's under a minute. It's part of a 3-part interview. Everyone watching us can see in its entirety on YouTube. Just search for Prisoners of Gravity. And, Rudy, if you'll run that now, let's take a look.
Never mind that. Let's watch this.
I started out dreaming of being a writer, and then I wanted to be a painter. But I was good at neither one. So what I did is take two ineptitudes and make one aptitude. I really, suddenly, it came upon a field which was there waiting for the talents, however limited, that I had.
Well, we've been exclusively doing Will's work. He's the giant in the field. This, I think, is his 55th year doing comics. He was there at the birth of comics. And he's somebody who not only spans the history of comics, but he's been an innovator all the way. He's been someone that other cartoonists mimicked and looked to for inspiration.
Dennis, speaking of great comics talent, is it okay to marvel at the career of another of your old friends, Robert Crumb?
Marvel away, yeah.
You know, just when you think that guy has done it all and done everything he wanted to do, he came out with the Book of Genesis.
Right.
You know, man.
Yeah, that actually started out. It was going to have been a Kitchen Sink Press project. And we discussed it in the mid-90s, shortly before Kitchen Sink went under. So it sat basically dormant until I convinced him to revive it 4 or 5 years ago. And my agency partner, Judy, and I were able to sell it to, ultimately, Norton. But it's something Robert had wanted to do for a long time, and I thought it was a great idea, kind of out of character for an underground cartoonist to take on the Bible. But he's just fascinated with the Old Testament, and I certainly wanted to see his interpretation of it. I figured a lot of people who never would have picked up the Bible would pick it up if Robert illustrated it, and a few Christians might find it discomforting. But the reactions have been across the board. You know, there have been some Christians who have embraced it, some who hate it, and there are some atheists who are reading it, who love it for what it is. And so I think it's great. In a weird way, it could be his magnum opus, because he devoted several years to it, and the numbers on it so far are extremely strong. It'd probably be the best-selling thing he's ever done in a certain ironic way.
Well, last question, because we're going to run out of time. Most of us will never get the opportunity to sit down and break bread with a Robert Crumb, R. Crumb, for people who don't make that connection. Can you just tell us something about him? You've known him a long time. You know what kind of guy he is.
Well, you know, he depicts himself as being a very strange character, and he certainly, there are strange aspects of him. But actually, he's a pretty down-to-earth, surprisingly normal guy. He's just very shy. And he's passionate about certain things like old music, and he's extremely interested in history and politics and human nature. And I think, you know, he doesn't come across as the weird pervert that you might assume he is from his comics that are autobiographical, but certainly exaggerating the more bizarre personality side. If you saw him in person, he'd fade into the crowd. He's a very quiet, you know, basically reclusive fellow.
All right. Well, we're going to run out of time, and I want to tell everybody, you can find underground comics artist and publisher Dennis Kitchen's career-spanning coffee table book, The Oddly Compelling Art of Dennis Kitchen, with text by Charles Brownstein and art design by John Lind, in great bookstores everywhere. Or you can order it online right now at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And for even more of Dennis, check out his website. It's Dennis with one N, DennisKitchen.com. Dennis, you're a good friend. I appreciate you coming on, and congratulations on the books and many more.
Thanks, Bob. It was fun.
My pleasure. Take care.
So on.
And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite comics artists and celebrities of all kinds, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy, so go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. While you're there, check out some of my favorite online radio shows, including The Michael Mara Show, Doug Loves Movies, The Business with Kim Masters, and Sex with Emily. And please take advantage of this great offer from Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MrMedia for your free audiobook. Folks, thanks for listening. Catch us on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. See you next time. Bye-bye.